Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits. I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. It's been a crazy few days with the election and my dog. I recently mentioned that she was diagnosed with cancer, and I thought I had a little more time to find a doctor that I liked and trusted. And, it got bad quick, but I found a guy that was amazing. If you need a surgeon out in Southern California, hit me up because I got your back. He is incredible. He got all the cancer out. I'm so thankful. I still don't have her home. She's recovering at the hospital, but I'm happy to report that she's going to be okay. Makes me very excited. I truly thought that I was going to lose her there for a second, and man, it was rough. Her surgery happened on Election Day, November 3rd, and I thought I was going to jump out of my skin that day, truly. I waited till about 6 o'clock to record this intro because I thought that, you know, maybe we'd have the results. We still don't yet at this point when I'm recording it. Maybe when you're listening to it, you'll have the results. I'll have the results. Everyone will. And look, we knew this was going to happen. We knew that it was going to take longer than normal because there were so many mail-in ballots, because of the pandemic, because people were taking precautions and voting early. We knew that this is how it was going to shake out. And, you know, I was prepared. I know some people weren't, and some people were up late freaking out, but I was prepared for this. And it's going to be okay. I have faith. I think Biden's going to win. I hope so. I think he is, though. I think we got it, guys. I think we did it. Anyway, today on the show, we have my good friend Matthew Underwood. You know him best from Zoe 101. He's a solid dude, and I'm excited for you to hear our conversation. So here it is. Everyone, welcome my friend Matthew Underwood.
Hey, how are you doing?
I haven't seen you in so many years. How is life?
It is amazing. I mean, we could probably count the amount of years on more than a single hand, which is like too many hands for me. But things have been good. You know, it's 2020, so it's about as good as it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that. I was going through an old hard drive, external hard drive, the other day, and I found photos of us from like 2008, 2009. And it's just hysterical looking at like our teenage years. There's photos of us in a parade somewhere. I don't know what's going on in it, but what? It's bizarre. Yeah. Apparently we were in a parade together. I don't remember that.
Well, we did so many things growing up together that some of them kind of mesh. I know we did a lot of like walk runs and we did a lot of like charity events. So like I have like a lot of memories of us wearing different charity t-shirts. That's probably my number one thing.
Oh my God. Remember we'd all used to like write on each other's shirts on the back of them and just write like obscene things and try to hide it from all the children we were around. God.
Yes. I still have a lot of those shirts, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. I have them probably in, like, one of those boxes that's, like, charity memorabilia.
Yeah, exactly. One of the ones my mom was, like, a saint for actually saving for me because everything I tried to save, it didn't last very long.
It didn't last. No. Yeah. It was pretty funny, though, looking at all those photos. We look so young, first off. And I feel like I've known you for my entire life, which is pretty on point.
I know. It's been so sad. I've known you for... I mean, we're I would say about more than half my life. I think I could confidently say I've known you for at least half my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
which
is a
lot. Oh my
God, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And now every year from now on, I will have known you for more than half my life. And it's like.
Great.
My better half life too.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Wow. So you've been down in Florida, right?
Yes, I came back to Florida in about 2010. I took I was taking a break kind of from the entertainment industry, just kind of trying to figure out who I was. And I came back to Florida, opened up a business, and just sort of started playing the like that normal people life, which I really felt like I missed out on. It's nice, you know, it's nice and slow, but I was only able to stay out of the industry for like maybe 2 years,
and then it's like a drug, man.
Yeah,
it's like a drug.
It really is. Started jonesing, and I couldn't stay away.
Tweaking on your balcony. Just like, I need to act. Damn it! Get me back into it.
Give me some sides, man. Just like two pages, man. Just like two pages.
Oh God! But you've been directing and stuff too down there, right?
I do most of my directing in Los Angeles.
Okay.
For the last few years, we've been using this one studio in particular in LA and in Burbank, California, called Castle Studios, which to me...
Wait, is that that building that looks like a castle in Burbank?
It kind of looks like a castle. Yes, it's castle-esque. Okay. We may be thinking of... I think I know what building you're thinking about that really looks like a castle.
Yeah.
I wish it was that one. No, it's but it kind of does. It's amazing though. It's got this new technology where you a lot of people probably know that, you know, video games are made in what's called a game engine, and some people might heard of Unreal Engine. They made Fortnite, they made PUBG. They make a lot of really big games. And the Unreal Engine, it's like a software program that you put video games together in. And I make these environments like the rooms or outside of the house or inside a spaceship, things like that, like you would in a video game. And then I could take those environments and we can use them in real time in a green screen studio while we film.
So, Jesus, that would really screw with me. Like, as far as like existential crises go, that would just throw me out the window.
I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. I mean, it gives us more freedom, like a huge amount of freedom. And it gives us the ability to shoot like almost, I haven't been able to do it yet, but the studio's record is about 72 or 74 pages in one day.
What?
Yes, because there's no turnaround time. Like, say we're shooting on one side of the room. And we need to shoot the other side of the room. Instead of picking up the cameras and the lights and all that stuff, we just pick up the digital world in the digital environment, and we spin it around 360, and we move the actors around, and then boom, we're filming literally less than 2-3 minutes later. We've already done a full turnaround in 2 minutes.
That is so bizarre. You're going to have to show me this next time you do a film there, because that's wild.
It is. It's really amazing. And it's like, so the cool, one of the, my favorite thing about it is like most of the time when you, anywhere else actually, when you film on a green screen, when you look through the camera lens, you see actors standing in front of a green screen. Like that's it. Mm-hmm. In this studio, when you look through the camera lens, you see that digital environment. As the cameras move around, they're fully motion tracked to the millimeter. So when they turn, it shows different parts of the environment. They have one on a crane, and it can just fly through the environment. And in real life, it's just, you know, flying through a green studio. But when you look at the monitors and you check the tape, they're flying through a cave. They're, you know, coming up through a window into the classroom to film for the scene to start. It's the freedom that you get is just incredible. I love it.
I can tell. That's good. It's good that you found like something that you love and something that's, you know, inspiring you to create more. That's really great.
Yeah, that's the key, really. Just find that inspiration.
Yeah. So take me back. What made you start acting? I mean, obviously, since I've known you for so long, we never really talked about these things when we were kids, right? Yeah. Like why we started acting or if we even liked it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, I was just going to say, like, did we really like we start acting?
Yeah, it's just like we were just doing something and it was just there. So why did you start acting? What did you love it? Did your mom say, Matt, you're going to go act? Or did you say, Mom, I want to go act?
Well, it was a combination of the both, actually. Like, I started when I was 6 months old. I couldn't even walk. Yeah, right? I couldn't even walk yet. My mom carried me in, like, sailor costumes and stuff down runways at, like, the mall for beauty pageants. And gorgeous. I won all of them, obviously. And my mom got me into plays as soon as I could walk and talk. But when I started kindergarten, my mom thought it was a better idea if I were to, you know, step back from that and just focus on school and try to make sure that I understood at the very beginning of my education years that education is number one. Mm. Anything else comes second. So she took me away from the acting for a few years. I think it was maybe like 2 years. Because I was about 8, almost 9 years old, and I saw an ad in the newspaper for an agent who was looking for actors. And I ran up to my mom and I was just like, oh my gosh, we've got to do this. And she was just like, no. And I was like, oh my gosh. And she tells the story as if like I twisted her arm until she drove me down there. But like, I just convinced her with my cuteness and amazing acting chops. And she was like, yes.
So those puppy dog eyes.
Exactly. And ever since I was 8, almost 9, it was actually in July, on July 4th. I mean, I remember the day in 1998, July 4th, 1998, that I went down to Disney World for this first, I went to like an acting competition, and I got a bunch of different agents at that competition. And the agent, one of the agents that I got, I have actually two agents that I got there, but the one I got and signed with immediately, I still work with today. She's my exclusive agent today.
What? That's wild. Yeah. I've been through so many.
Me too. And I mean, she's always been there. Like, she was my agent in Florida. And then when I actually finally moved to LA in 2003, she said, you know, I don't have an LA office. So I want to be your representative whenever I can be. But I know that if you love something, you have to let it go. And here are the agents that I recommend you work with. And they're going to get my commission. But it's best for you to do that. And I really appreciate that, my agent, for doing that. And
yeah, that's unheard of, an agent who actually is looking out for their clients instead of just wanting money. What?
Exactly. Yeah. And she's a heart of gold. Lauren Green and Lauren and Tammy Green, they're sisters, actually, with the Green Agency.
Cute.
And then the other agent that I met at this competition when I was 8 was CESD, and at the time CED, and they're the ones that got me on Zoe 101.
I love them. I used to be with them for voiceover back in the day. God. And
Melissa,
they were
Berger.
Always, yes, Melissa, she was so much fun. I think she left CESD, but my God, she was so fun and made recording in the booth so enjoyable. I just loved being around her.
She made my time at CESD like just amazing. I almost left them like a year earlier than I did, and it was only because of Melissa that I stayed, because she was like a hound. It was like every day I would be getting a call from her or an email from her, and I wouldn't just get voiceover calls from her. I would get commercials, TV shows, movies. I mean, it was everything. And yeah, she was the bomb.com. She always made it really fun.
We got to find her. We got to track her down, because she was great.
She really
was. So that brings me to Zoe 101. So CESD got you that. But what was that audition process like? How many times did you go in? Did you automatically know when you saw the sides? Like, oh my God, I am Logan. I have this.
Oh my goodness. I mean, so yeah, that last question you ask actually is interesting, because I did. When I first got that script, I knew. I absolutely knew that I was Logan Reese, because I had already been work. I was 13 years old, by the way. I was 13 years old, had already been working out at a gym for about 2 hours a day. And it was Mondays and Wednesdays, biceps and triceps, Tuesdays and Thursdays, all abs. You know, it was just like,
I love that you remember that.
That was me. You know, I ate, breathed and slept being the most awesome thing on the planet. and so when I went to audition for it, it was just a bunch of fun. I was just, you know, I felt really comfortable. I was having a good time. And I think the casting directors saw that, and they brought me back 7 times.
My God. Nickelodeon does that, man. The audition process with Nickelodeon is one that's just like unrivaled, truly. Yeah. It's so long and so difficult.
I think, you know, it's anything that's nothing great ever came easy. That's one thing I've always tried to remember, and especially with stuff like that. And when you're working with kids, you've really got to put them through some tests, because people can
especially
be on
when
their best
it's like
behavior.
That age.
Yes.
Like 13 is like one of those ages where it's like you're either going to be great in a couple years or you're going to suck. It's like it's more like when you're like that 17, 18 age when you're still doing that. And you're like, oh, God, come on, guys, please just trust me once. Just trust me. Please.
Yeah. I mean, I work with kids now. So, I mean, my first year after directing projects with kids, I would say it dawned on me how much I already had respect for Dan Schneider, the creator of Zoe 101 and iCarly and all these things. But my respect level went up by like tenfold, because I was like, wow, this kid, I remember doing that. And now I am so annoyed with this kid. I have to keep a smile on my face. I've got to have fun. You know, we got to make it educational at the same time so that they actually want to learn from it and not just feel like they're having a boring or a rough time being scolded by the teacher. And Dan, you know, he made every experience super awesome. He leveled with us whenever we needed him to. And I learned a lot from my experiences with him, and I use a lot of what he did as I work with kids today. I mean,
it's interesting too that you say that, because when I was on Victorious, it was Dan, and then the director was Steve Hafer. And Steve, I'm sure you worked with him on Zoe.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So before I directed To the Beat, I went to Steve and I said, hey, do you have any tips? And he sat down and had like a full-on conversation with me. I ended up doing shadowing him on Henry Danger last year for an episode. But it's interesting that those are the things that stick with us, right? Like you learn so much from Dan, and I learned so much from Steve. And it's like when you're sitting there young and impressionable and you're watching these powerhouses and how they handle things, it really does get into your brain and you kind of see it all and you're like, oh, wow, that's how I can do things.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Steve is just he's definitely an amazing director
he's incredible.
Take from. Yeah, he was a huge amount of fun. I love the directors that love to have fun. Like they can, they're serious, but they love to have fun too. They can play the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
But okay, so you're on Zoe 101, and then, you know, your career kind of skyrockets, right? Because it's Zoe 101 and everybody's obsessed with it.
Yeah, you know, I would say my career publicly skyrockets. So a lot of people know who I am all around the world after I got on the show. But I will say it might happen more with kids, but I find it a little interesting that when you're on a show or something, that's one of the only things you can do for the time being.
Right.
But doing some other stuff gets a little difficult. And I had a few experiences where I wanted to read for something my friends were reading for, and I just couldn't because it was, you know, either a different TV show or it was for Disney. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Don't do that.
I worked for Disney a couple times while I was on Zoe 101, while I was actively filming for Zoe 101.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
how'd you pull that off?
It was voiceover work, so technically, they couldn't keep me from doing it.
You're right. Yeah, I remember there's somebody who is, I'm not gonna call him out, but there's somebody on who was on Victorious who, after the first like two or three episodes, he went and did a movie that was R-rated. And it became like a very huge movie. And I remember talking to somebody on the show and they were like, yeah, I can't believe he was able to get away with that. But I mean, obviously his scenes weren't like R-rated, but he like said a curse word or something in it. It's a funny comedy movie that, you know, but I remember thinking, how the hell did he pull that off? Because I would have 100% Nickelodeon would have shut that down if they knew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Well, also depends on like, yeah, I don't want to bridge too much information to kind of give away who it is. So I won't, but there's some different variables involved that kind of keep somebody from being able to work on this or work on that.
Yeah.
So yeah,
it's true, but they're a good show. They're a great company. I remember when I was there last year, it's just like, everyone's so fun and it just feels more like a family than work over there.
It really does. I mean, to the point, we filmed the Zoe 101 cast got together last year, this time last year, and filmed on All That.
Fun!
It was a lot of fun. And the crew that films for All That is almost the exact same crew as the film Zoe 101.
Yeah, and they all just stay.
They're just one big happy family, and they film right next to Henry Danger. And yeah. It was like half of the Zoe 101 crew was on Henry Danger, and half of the Zoe 101 crew was on All That. And there was almost, it was like, I would be able to count on two hands max the amount of people that weren't there from the Zoe 101 sets. And it
by
was,
the way, that studio is amazing. Can we talk about the crafty that they have? Because that is like insane. It's just amazing.
That's my favorite part of the set.
Basketball hoops in it. Like, it's so cool. That whole hangout area at that studio they have now is so freaking dope.
It is amazing. I it's hard to get me away from craft services whenever I'm on set. So that's where I was hanging out the whole time.
Well, especially when they have like gourmet food 24/7. They're just like filling shit up all day, and you're just like, thank you so much. I'm starving.
We had Thanksgiving. We filmed on the week of Thanksgiving, so we had a Thanksgiving meal for lunch. One day we were filming. Yeah, I think it was like their Thanksgiving day where the crew spent Thanksgiving together. And it was just all day, though. It was just nonstop Thanksgiving food, Thanksgiving right? food. And it's just like, oh my gosh, the tryptophan. How?
You're like, I'm sorry, I just can't do anything else. This turkey, man.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going on with Zoe 101 now? Y'all have posted some stuff. The song came out again, a remix or a cover or something, but what's going on with it? Come on.
Yeah, you know, okay, so I mean, I can't spill too many beans. Obviously, I'm not really allowed to give away all the secrets. But you know, we're working on it. We're developing the concept for a reboot. You know, we've got a few, I wouldn't say deals. I don't like to call things deals until I have, you know, a check. So you know, we've got some deals worked out that make it more for young adults. That's going to keep it from being, you know, super, super childlike, which was that was really big for me. I love working with kids, and I love, you know, I act like a kid all day, but there's just something about our characters grew up as kids, and kids were watching it 10, 15 years ago. So they're adults now. And yeah, like we can like try to make a show on Nickelodeon again where it's four kids. Maybe it's a new generation of kids and some of the characters are involved somehow. But you know,
you're back as the PE teacher.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Or like maybe the modeling coach, because Logan, I don't know how good he was at PE, but you know, he always looked good. That's for sure. but you know, so we had a lot of conversations over the last year trying to talk about how we think, how we would want, because like what we think, it doesn't really get too much done. It's really about what Jamie and the producers are able to get done. But they, you know, they asked us like what we thought our characters would be doing, and what we think would be most relatable. Would it be a better show if it was kids with us around just helping the kids, or would it be a better show if it was us as adults and where we were? And it was pretty unanimous. Like, there are a lot of funny jokes that could be had if we're like teachers, but it was unanimous. Everybody wants to see where they went.
Exactly. I mean, if you're going to do a reboot of a show, make it about those characters again, because those characters are what sold it in the first place. So why change the formula?
Honestly, to be totally real, the characters and the actors, and I'm not trying to toot my own personal horn, but the actors were the show, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it was PCA that was on a beach in Malibu, and it was a great school, but we have an energy together that is so authentic and so fun, and it like I hadn't seen some of the cast members in about 10 years, and it was like within a second, it was like we were on set yesterday, and the energy is just so infectious. My mom, when we were growing up doing the show, she always made it important to mention, like, you know, she always says, you know why Friends is so successful? Because they're actually friends. And so
she's right.
She's right. And she would say that to all of us all the time. And we were actually friends. And I think that it showed so clearly and so authentically to the audience that it's just infectious. The fun that we have together is so infectious. The fans deserve for us to do that again.
I'm excited to see what happens. Hopefully something does.
Oh, me too. I mean, there's so many storylines that like, oh, like the Quinn and Logan storyline. Just last week, we were all on a Zoom call together trying to come down into terms with how like their relationship could be evolving and like what some of the thorns might have been that have arisen in the relationship. Oh my goodness. It was hilarious. The amount of ideas that they came up with bounced off of us and we were dying. I was crying.
Oh my God.
I just can't wait to see what they actually come up with. Like what they finally say, like, this is it. You guys are together, or this is it. You guys aren't. And I have to like get a bulletproof vest because the fans will shoot me if I am not with Quinn.
Well, because obviously it would be your fault.
Of course. It's always my fault, especially after I did an interview and I was just like, oh, yeah, Logan is like totally using Quinn. And they were like, the fans went nuts. I like almost had to delete my Instagram because it was so bad. Yeah.
It's wild to me how people can be like still so obsessed with something that's, you know, like what, 12, 13 years old?
Yes. Yeah, it's true. But I mean, just think about this. What if tomorrow you heard, and I'm not really making the comparison there, I'm just saying, it's an analogy. What if you heard that Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was going to be rebooted?
I liked it. I didn't love it. But it's a good show.
I would lose my shit. I'm sorry. I would. I mean, okay, Will Smith is the only actor that I have an autograph from my entire life. And I mean, I've worked and shouldered schmoozed with so many. I cried. I literally cried. And I didn't ask for it. I did an event with him, like a film festival, and I was organizing a bunch of the like bowling with kids. And he was taking pictures with all the kids. Him and Jada, like different groups would come into this room one at a time, as a group one at a time. And they'd take a picture and then they'd print it out. He'd sign it for them. And I, you know, kept organizing all the groups, get him in. And he would ask me, hey, you going to come in for this one? You going to come in? I said, no. I'm here working. You know, I'm going to be professional. And when he was all done, he was about to leave the bowling alley. And him and somebody else came up to me. He was like, I know you're not going to ask for it, man. So here you go. And I'm like, I was dying. I'm like, oh, my God, thank you so much. And he walks away. I start crying, literally bawling. The kids are laughing at me. They're like, Matt, you're a baby.
Oh my God. The only person I've ever cried over is Anton Yelchin. I met him at school once. He was at the same college I was at. He wasn't going there, but his friend was, and we were all at a play. And Brett was with me, and he was like making fun of the situation, like, oh my God, Jillian, Anton's over there. And I thought he was just screwing with me because he usually does that. And I'm like, shut up, Brett. Just go. Like, Brett. Whatever. I'm so pissed I brought you. And then I look over and it was Anton, and I ended up like talking to him for like 20 minutes about like the Clash. I don't know why we were talking about the Clash, but we were. And it was fantastic. And I was like, that's the man I'm going to marry. And then, you know, he died a few years later and I sobbed my eyes out for many, many hours. But it was funny. We got back into my mom's car because I think we were both still like 15 at the time. And we got into my mom's car and I just started like sobbing. And she's like, what the fuck happened? And I'm like, I met Anton Yelchin. And she was like, oh my God, what?
Did he slap you? Why are you crying? I'm just so happy.
And the funny thing was, and ask Brett, I totally stayed like chill as hell until I got into that car. I was like so cool. I was, you know, vibing. I was doing good. I got into that car and I had a complete and total mental breakdown.
That's champion status right there.
It was. I remember. Status. Do you remember Sherry Cherry and the Boys?
Sherry Cherry and the Boys. That one's hard.
Anyway, I went to their apartment afterwards and my face was so red that they thought I was like sick and like I needed to go to the hospital or something. I was like, no. I just met the man of my dreams. It's fine. It's okay. Yes,
it's okay.
Okay, so we've come to the part of the show where I like to have actors tell me a story about a bad audition or a role that got away. Do you have something you'd like to share with the classroom?
Oh my goodness. I mean, just to be real, the first time I heard about your podcast and I was like loving your episodes, and I started to see that trend of you're asking these people what their audition that got away was.
Mm-hmm.
And it really dawned on me pretty quickly, the audition that I've always wanted to, I always wanted to book, but didn't. And it's been driving me nuts for a while now thinking about it. So,
I got it.
Yeah. It's, I don't know if you saw the movie or you remember it called Monster House.
Yeah. Yeah. Spencer was in that, right? Spencer Locke?
I don't remember the actors. The film. Look, I didn't book it, so I'm not going to like it.
You're like, I never even saw it. I hate it now.
So I auditioned for it a few times. Like, I would say five. I would say probably five times. And I was obsessed. It was one of the first motion capture films. Motion capture big budget films. And when I heard about motion capture at that time, my mind was blown. And it really, my life has been a large part animation, cartoons, 3D animation, and sort of like, but I've been obsessed with the concept and the ideas of computer technology in 3D animation since Monster House, the things that I learned during the audition process. So the thing that happened was I was doing great. Obviously, I was the first choice, and it was the only one they wanted, and that's why they brought me back so many times.
Oh, God, but don't you love when you're told that? You're the first choice.
So
great. It's like the kiss of death.
If a casting director ever goes like, oh, you're my favorite that's come in today, yeah, just don't even go back there.
It's like, no, take it back. Don't say that's me.
Exactly. But on the fourth audition, I think it was the fourth one, because I went to two like this, I caught a cold.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I was talking like I had a really stuffy nose, and no matter what I would say, no matter what I would do, I sounded like I had this stuffy nose.
Oh, no.
And I mean, my mom, it's bless her heart, my mom is the champion. She did everything for me, and she went running around the town looking for something that could help unclog my nose. Like, we went to a dermatologist and asked him, like, I'm serious. We went to like some other, like, I don't know what the nose doctors are called.
What is it? An ENT or something?
I don't know. I think, are you thinking like an entomologist or something? I'm not sure. And then we ended up getting some medicine, some like nasal spray medicine from that nose doctor. And it was like, I won't use nose sprays now as an adult because of how uncomfortable that was. And it didn't help. It didn't even help. I still sounded super nasally. I was just so upset. I was so, and to lose it out, like to lose out on a dream job over a stuffy nose. Wow. It just felt so 2020, you know?
It felt 2020 and you didn't even know about 2020 yet.
Yeah. It really did. You lose your favorite job because you got sick. Darn.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, and I've never forgotten it. It's driven me nuts since, you know, now that I do a lot of animation and I do motion capture, I think about it all the time. And it definitely majorly inspired me to get into what I'm in today.
It's funny. I have kind of an opposite story like that, where I had this audition for like a tech girl and a pilot. And it was a reboot of another show, and I thought it went super well. And my voice was like super cracked because I was sick. But because my voice was so cracked, it fit the character. And so then when I got the call back, I was like, son of a bitch, what do I do now? So I was like in my car, like singing at the top of my lungs, screaming, trying to get my voice to crack again because I didn't know what to do. Because they loved the voice cracked. And I was like, like, what do I do now? And then obviously after the callback, since my voice wasn't cracked anymore, I didn't go any further.
Yeah. Isn't that just the best?
It's like, great.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And the things we do as actors for the role, you know,
it's like,
how many people threaten to lose their own voice to get a job? I mean, like, maybe to lose their job, maybe, but not to get the job.
It's true. Have I ever told you this story? I did this indie film called The Kitchen, like, I don't know, 9-10 years ago. But the role was like a Phoebe Buffay, like super kind of out there and whatnot. And I was like, they're never going to hire me if they just see my sarcastic ass walk in. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I went in as the character, and then I ended up booking it. And I was like, I called my manager. I was like, what do I do now? Because they think I'm a total dimwit. And he was like, well, just be yourself now. And I was like, okay. And I got to the wardrobe fitting and I was like talking normally and not in the voice that I had used. And the director comes up to me and goes, so I hear you totally fooled us all and you like Shakespeare and shit. Like, what's happening? And I was like, oh yeah, sorry about that. I just really liked the movie.
That's great. I mean, that's skills right there for you. If I was the director, I would be extremely happy to know right? that I was just totally fooled.
It works sometimes. Sometimes you can pull it off. Like, sometimes there's roles where you're just like, oh, I can totally pull this off, and they'll never know.
Oh, yeah. And then there's sometimes when I think I can pull it off, and then I go and I read it for somebody else, and they're like, what are you thinking? Like, you do not sound British in that.
Those are the choices you're going to make? Are you sure?
Are you sure? That's my favorite critique. Can I just say that? Are you sure that's the right choice? I'm like, wait, what does that mean? Do you like it or not?
Is there another choice you want to offer me? Right? Or what's happening here?
What's happening with you?
Oh my gosh. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. How can people follow you on social media?
Oh, well, they can follow me on Instagram at Matt Underwood, I believe. Yeah, at Matt Underwood. And then you can also find me on TikTok. I just made a TikTok about a month ago. I know. But I'm being taught how to use TikTok by actually, I got an interesting story for I think another minute. I got pulled into TikTok by ex-girlfriends who, yeah, they started making TikTok videos about, like, our past relationships. And I'm, you know, I'm sorry to say this. I may have cheated on a couple of them at the same time. I, like, only kissed them or, like, took them to the movies. I was no player. I was like, so I was a virgin till I was like 18. So, but nonetheless, they started spilling tea on TikTok and it went viral. There were millions of people that were watching these videos. Yeah. My agent called me and she was like, Matt, is this true? And I was like, who, what's their names? And they're, and I'm like, oh yeah, I knew those girls. And she's like, do not respond. Do not even make a TikTok. And I was like, okay. So then I hung up and I like made a TikTok and then I like responded to the videos. And I mean, they're my friends, these girls. So it's like, now they teach me how to use TikTok. And I think I'm doing pretty well. You guys should totally check it out. It's Matt D. Underwood at Matt D. Underwood.
That's hysterical. I started a TikTok like, I don't know, end of last year. I don't know. I started it and I like put up my movie trailer because I thought that's like what you did. I'm like, oh, it's like Instagram. Like, just going to put this up. And it's the only thing I've posted. I watch TikToks now because I got into it a couple of months ago and my friend Lindsay like forced me to.
Aren't they good?
It's great to watch. I love all the like the political ones because that's just what I follow. That's my brain where it is.
That's where it's at.
But, it's great to follow. I don't think I could ever make one, though.
It's not the easiest thing in the world. I think I found my forte with TikTok. I kind of had to step away because we're doing the Zoe 101 release. So I can't, I'm like kind of focusing on the Zoe 101 content.
Yeah.
But I'm doing educational videos. So I'm not like just doing dancing and doing stupid moves. And I can't.
Oh, yeah. I can't do the dancing thing. That's not going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. My most recent TikTok is me doing the dancing thing, sadly.
Oh, God.
But it's good. You know, I look really, really good in it, I have to say. It's just like a superstar.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. What's his name does that song? Happy. You know?
Pharrell Williams?
Yeah, Pharrell Williams, he better move over because I'm bringing in the moves.
Oh, it's goodness. Okay. Well, you heard it here, folks. Watch out, Pharrell. Matt's coming in.
Yeah.
well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope to see you next time you're out in LA.
Oh, we have to make this happen. I cannot go back to LA again without seeing you.
I know. It's disappointing. I'm so disappointed in you.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Yay. Bye.
Thanks again to Matt for coming on the show. I'm excited to see if there's going to be a reboot. Everybody, keep your ears open. Let's see. Let's pray that they bring the show back. Get the gang back together.
Tune in next week. I have Dee Dee Pfeiffer on the show. She's in the new show called Big Sky. I'm super excited to see that. Until then, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you're listening to it now, and you can follow us on social media if you want. Those links are in the show notes. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your dog to tune into the show every Thursday. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.